Let's begin by singing in our brown book, page 330. I would be like Jesus. Who do you want to be like? Some of you are old enough, like me, might remember those commercials. I want to be like Mike. We have a Mike here. I don't think it was him, though. It was Michael Jordan, right? When you were a kid, you're playing sports, you're playing basketball, football. We never played as ourselves. We always played as somebody else. You know, I'm Walter Payton, or I'm this one, or I'm that one. Because we're going to take on their skills. Well, we never quite did. We never got that far. But we want to be like them. As Christians, we ought to have one desire, and that is to be like Jesus. No matter where we are, I would be like Jesus. Let's sing it together. Page 330 in our brown book. I would be like Jesus. All together, let's sing it.
Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me. I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song.
Lord, we have gathered in your presence this night. We know, Lord, as we come, as we behold your glory, we know, Lord, we can have the same experience that Moses had. Because you are here. Your presence is here, that Shekinah glory. And as we behold your face, we pray that you will stamp your own image on us, Lord. Lord, we want to shine with your glory. Not our own glory, not our own goodness, our own righteousness. Lord, your glory shining forth from each one of us. We ask you'll do that for us this night. We know that as we behold you in your beauty, the beauty of your holiness, that we will reflect your glory. We will shine. We will be like Jesus. Just as you shone, Lord, with the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth, Lord, we want to shine with your glory. We need to shine with your glory. We must shine with your glory, because you have called us to be the light of the world, and we can't do that in ourselves. We have nothing good in ourselves to offer this world, but Lord, we have you. May we reflect your goodness, your glory, and your grace throughout this world, Lord. May we reflect that glory here at camp. And then, Lord, as we leave, each one of us in our own time, as you lead us, we ask that we too will shine with that glory. That's what we need to be like Jesus. We pray that will be the experience of each one who walks upon these grounds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are several other songs that talk about that same thing. Could we sing one more of them? In your white camp book, page 100, I Want to Be Like Jesus. A very similar song. Spells a little bit more out for us of what this looks like. What does it look like to be like Jesus? Let's sing these verses together, shall we? 100 in the camp white camp book. Together.
I have one deep, supreme desire that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire that I may be like Jesus. I want my heart, his throne to be, so that a watching world may see his likeness shining forth in me. I want to be like Jesus.
Ladies, sing the second verse for us, would you?
He spent his life in doing good. I want to be like Jesus. In lowly paths of service trod, I want to be like Jesus. He sympathized with hearts distressed. He spoke the words that cheered and blessed. He welcomed sinners to his breast. I want to be like Jesus.
Gentlemen, sing the third.
O holy, harmless life he led, I want to be like Jesus. The Father's will, his drink and bread, I want to be like Jesus. And when at last he comes to die, forgive them, Father, hear him cry. For those who taunt and crucify, I want to be like Jesus.
All together on the fourth.
O perfect life of Christ, my Lord, I want to be like Jesus. My recompense and my reward, that I may be like Jesus. His Spirit fill my hungering soul, his power o'er my life control. My deepest prayer, my highest goal, that I may be like Jesus.
Sing that last line. My deepest prayer, my highest goal, that I may be
Jesus, so to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Do it, Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray, O Lord Jesus. Jesus, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Jesus, we come. I We come to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know why Moses' face shone, don't you? Who could tell me? Why did Moses' face shine when he came down from Sinai? I heard it somewhere. Where was that? Yes, he had talked with God face to face. God had come down on Mount Sinai. Oh man, that shook the people of Israel up, didn't it? That really shook them up. And that trumpet blast, the lightning, the thunder, the darkness, the cloud, the fire, the earthquake. Remember that God had given Moses instructions. Said, you tell the people of Israel, don't come near this mountain. Don't get too close. Don't even let your animals wander out. Don't let them do that. But didn't have to worry about it, did they? Because as that mountain started to shake. Do you remember what the children of Israel's reaction was? Does anybody remember? You know what it was? I'll give you my version that I tell my folks in church. That thing started to happen. They were like, Moses, you go. You go up there. We're not getting anywhere near that. You go. And Moses went up into that mountain. He spoke to God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now I got a question for you. You ready? Sorry. I was a teacher for 30 years. I can't get it out of me. I have a question for you. It says Moses talked to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. But wait a minute. Those of you who know your Bibles know that there's a little problem with that statement. Anybody know what it is? It says no one sees God's face and lives. See? The Bible contradicts itself, doesn't it? I learned something about that some years ago from a Hebrew scholar. About Moses talking to God face to face. I wish my son was here. He's just a little under the weather. His belly's been bothering him a little bit off and on. Just keep him in your prayers. He's doing better, but I told him, you just lay low. Lay low, Sam. He did eat those mashed potatoes, though. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So that's a good sign. When Sam doesn't eat mashed potatoes, you know things have gone south. And he didn't eat them at lunch, but he was eating them before. So thank God for that. And he would be great because I would really only use my son for this example. But what that means, literally, in the Hebrew, is face touching face. In other words, when Moses went up on that mountain, what it says in the Hebrew is that God drew so close to Moses that Moses didn't look him in the face. Here, good married couple over here. Cheek to cheek, go. That's what it means. That's what it literally means in the Hebrew, face to face, cheek to cheek. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to God. God drew so close to Moses that Moses couldn't help it. When he came down from that mountain, his face, he'd been in contact with God. His face radiated with that glory. Now, there was a group of men who lived in the first century A.D., Anno Domini, year of our Lord, not after death. They were uneducated. They didn't know a whole lot. They didn't know a whole lot. In fact, one of them wrote, you know, there's this guy named Paul, and he writes some of this stuff, and I don't always follow him. I don't always understand. He writes things sometimes that are hard to understand because this group weren't terribly educated. Yeah, they had learned the Torah like all good little Jewish boys did. But they weren't highly educated. They weren't taught in the arts of rhetoric and argument and all those things. But their enemies, the enemies of Christ, who they followed, called them together and told them, don't you preach in his name anymore! Or else! And they answered with grace and the peace of the Holy Spirit that rested upon them. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you know, as those enemies gazed at those apostles, you know who I'm talking about, Peter, John, they looked at them. You know what they knew? You know what they realized as they looked at them? Anybody? I heard it somewhere, I think. They knew that they had been with Jesus. You see, when people come home from pilgrim camp, very often, and that's what we always pray, whether we're here or at home, they come home different. There's something different about you. Something has changed. One time, one dear young fellow in our church came home and he gave such a glowing testimony about what he had learned in their lessons. He said, we learned this. Oh, it was such a blessing to me. And I could tell something had changed. Except I sat there and I chuckled to myself and said, I've been trying to teach you that for the last 5 years. Sometimes a different voice helps. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just knows when to do his work. But you know why people come home from camp changed, don't you? You know why, right? Not because the dress code is different. Not because the choice of songs is a little different, maybe than what you're used to in your home church. No, no, no. Not at all. And it's not even the good weather. It's not even that fresh air and sunshine and lake water. No, none of that. It's because when people come up here, they're exposed to Jesus. They're exposed to the power and light of the living God. He draws close to them. There are people praying for them. There are those who exemplify what it looks like to draw near to God, and he will draw near to me. And as they do that, folks are caught in with that. They see that and says, oh, what is that? What is that? What is happening? Because there are some who don't know about this. Even some churchgoers. Some good little Christian boys and girls and people who don't know about drawing near to God, about like Moses coming face to face. Do you know God wants that experience for every one of us? He doesn't want to be far off.
doesn't want to be just way up there in the Luft somewhere. He wants to be right. He is right here. And sometimes he's just got to get our attention. He needs us to turn from whatever it is that so takes our attention and enamors us. He wants us to turn. All of a sudden, as we turn, oh, there he is. There he is. How many times, don't worry, I won't call on you to give a testimony. So how many of you have ever had that experience where all of a sudden God just drew your attention? Maybe it was here at camp. Maybe it was someplace else. And all of a sudden you realized, in a sense, that you had come face to face with God. You had come cheek to cheek, as it were, with God. You saw Jesus more clearly than ever. And in seeing him, you saw the Father, the one who Moses spoke to on that mountain. You saw God, and it changed you. It thrilled your soul. It changed the way you see the world, the way you experience things. It was still you. It was still you. But there was something different. Something had changed. What was it that had changed? You had met the one whom your soul desired. I think, Brother Jim, you were talking about that. About searching for that one. Searching for something. There's got to be something else. I pray, God, that every one of us and every one of those boys and those little girls, by the time they leave this camp, will truly be able to sing. Whether they're introduced to the song or not, their soul will sing, "Hallelujah, I have found him who my soul so long has craved." Do you know, you might think that sounds like an adult kind of a song. You know, adults are looking for something. Well, let me tell you something. So are the kids. The kids are looking for something too. I know, I spent 30 years teaching 13, 14, 15-year-olds, sometimes even a little younger. And let me tell you, a lot of them were looking for something. Some of them never found it. One or two. Two committed suicide because they didn't find what they were looking for. That young? Yeah, that young. But I thank God that there are young people that are finding him. And I tell you, I'd never so thrilled. One year I was sitting in my classroom, first day of school. One little boy comes walking into my class and I almost fell on the floor. What do you think it was about him that stunned me? He had a shirt on. And I knew that shirt. Like, where'd you get that shirt? You know what it was? It was Pilgrim Camp, Brant Lake, New York. Like, where'd you get that? Who? Did you steal that? You rip somebody off for that? No. I went there. He had been to Pilgrim Camp. And of course, we had a lot of great conversations about it. But I thank God, while you're here, just give him a little bit of attention. Don't be surprised if in the midst of something, it might be in a service. It might not be. You could be anywhere. You might be out on the lake. Maybe you'd be helping Brother Tom. Maybe you're leading those boys. Maybe you're with those little ones, young ones. And all of a sudden you feel, oh, it's you. God wants to reveal himself to each one of us more really, more deeply. There is so much more. I know we have folks here who have been serving the Lord 50 plus years, more than that, and really know God. And those of you who know him best can attest to this most clearly, that there is so much more. There is so much more. We will never plumb the depths of our God. Let him reveal himself to you. And as he does, he will stamp his own image on you. He will leave his mark on you. I'm starting just a little bit of what we're going to discuss this evening for a brief time. Let him mark you. Let him seal you. Let him stamp. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. God wants his image on us. He wants us to bear his image. When people see us, what do they see? Do they see you? Do they see me? Do they see a good guy? Do they see a nice lady?
or do they see Jesus? I want them to see Jesus, and I know that you do too. How does that happen? It happens as we behold his glory, as we get into his presence, and we let him stamp that image on us. We let him draw so close, cheek to cheek, as it were, that when we go, we can't help. We can't help it. Moses didn't have to get up and go, "Oh, I want to shine with God's glory." No. It just happened. We overflow with that glory. That's been a prayer that I've had for the counselors these couple of days. God, let them lead those boys from the overflow. From the overflow. Sometimes we get drained. You know why? Because we give, but we don't take in. Let God fill you. Come into his presence. Behold his glory. Let him just fill that cup so much. That's why it's so great that you're here these couple of days early, some of you. Never often really had that opportunity when I counseled. Maybe the day before. A couple of times the morning of, like 6 o'clock in the morning after an all-night drive. But to be here and to be in the presence of God these days before these fellows arrive and these little young ones arrive, just let him fill you. Just behold his glory. And when they come, just let it run over. Just let it keep running over. Let him minister to you every day and just let that run over. Minister to them with the overflow and see God's glory. Reflect God's glory. Shine with his glory. Let him stamp his image on you. Let those young ones, let those boys, let them see Jesus. And that goes for you waitresses too. You waitresses too. Sometimes a waitress comes and she fills up my cup with coffee. I'm like, little higher. Little higher. That's okay. Little higher. I drink it black. You can put more in. Well, guess what? There's always room for more of Jesus. Always room for more of God. Let him fill you. Let him minister to you. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight who has had that kind of an experience where all of a sudden you knew you had met God. And it changed something about you. I don't mean it just made you absolutely perfect. So don't worry. I'm not perfect. No. That final glorification is yet to come. We're on our way, though. Has anyone here ever had that? I know some of you were nodding your head, and I said I wouldn't call on you. But in these next few moments, if you would be so kind, I'd love to hear one or two of you who don't have to be profound. Was there a moment where you knew that you had met Jesus? You had met him face to face, and something changed. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Let's let him do his work in our hearts this night.
I was reminded of something when you were speaking, very similar to what you were saying. I had been seeking God for a long time for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and for some reason I felt I wasn't breaking through. Of course, God was doing the work in me all the time. Every time I was praying, he was filling me, and that's what the gardeners told me. That's how I should pray, they said. Say, Lord, I believe you are filling me.
Yes.
I believe you're filling me more each day, every minute. And I did pray like that. But one day, I don't know if anyone knows about the bus terminal in Jamaica, New York. It's sort of a smelly place. But I remember when I was young and walking through that, I had to walk from the elevated train to the bus terminal. And as I was walking through the bus terminal past the pizza place, it really was a smelly place. That remains with me. But as I was walking through, suddenly God came to me. And I can't explain it. I was not praying, but I was just walking to catch my bus, and suddenly I felt God come. And I believe that was the beginning of what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because several days later, up here at camp, right where Sister Martha is sitting, the Lord gave me the fullness of it. I spoke in tongues. But he began that. I believe he began that several days before. He quietly came and just filled me with a peace that was beyond understanding. And I'm so thankful for that. And I think God comes to us in different ways, as Brother Jonathan said. And with me, it was like that. Some people get the baptism and they immediately speak in tongues or different manifestations. But all that quietness that comes upon us. I know many times in that same room, in the prayer room, I would just be looking to the Lord. It was during the winter program. We used to have retreats up here during the winter. And it was very cold. I was up here once, it was 30 below. I'm sure Tom has experienced that too. But we used to have the winter retreats, and of course we couldn't stay in this room. But that room over there is the prayer room, and that was heated. And we'd have our meetings there. And how often in those years back then, after a meeting, it would get really quiet. And you didn't know what God was doing, but you were certain that God was there. Same thing happens in our altar services here. We don't know what God is doing, but in that quietness, He works deep in our souls. And if we have boys and young ladies, if we have that here, if you experience that, just say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I believe you're doing something in me. And I know that the Lord helped me many times with needs like that. Quietness,
yes.
God can work. That's a powerful method that God uses. Work deep in our hearts. And I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
It was during my first time at camp a number of years ago, and when I had first married, my husband and I had married in February, and along, I think it's about June, he said something about going to camp. I'd never heard of Pilgrim Camp, except I knew that he'd been up here in the fall before over the Labor Day weekend, but that was the only thing that I knew anything about, just that he had been here. Didn't know anything about the camp, didn't know what it was about or anything. And so we came up the last week, and those years ended with the Labor Day retreat, and we had been, he happened to have that week off from work. It was the only week that he had off from work, and we had come up. And I didn't have a clue as to what to expect or what would be happening or anything, and that may be the way some of you are. If you're fairly new to camp, you may not know what to expect or what God might be doing. And I enjoyed the meetings, and I was not specifically aware of any specific thing that was happening or going on. And we lived in Connecticut at the time and attended the church there regularly and drove into Ridgewood in New York as often as we could. And the wife of the pastor in the church in Connecticut, when we got back, said to my husband, "What happened to Aletha? She's different." Now, in that 1 week being here in the presence of the Lord and not even being aware of what God was doing, God was working in me in such a way that somebody else could see it and recognize it, that I was different. And I've always been thankful for that.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you, even if you don't feel something specific, just open your heart and your life to Jesus and let Him do His work in you, and He will change us. We're told that He changes us from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And it may be a small step, it may be not a big degree, but we're changed as we spend time in the presence of the Lord. So while you're here, this period, spend as much time as you can in the presence of Jesus. I know there's a lot of other things to do, but there's nothing as important as spending some time with Jesus and just opening your heart to Him and saying, Lord, I don't even know what I need, but I know I need more of You. And work in me what You want to accomplish in me during this time that I'm a kid.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
how about one of our staffers, younger staffers, has any of you ever had an experience with the Lord that you knew made a real difference, just changed something about you, about your life?
So glad Brother Paul shared that. I'm glad for Sister Letha too. I love that testimony. We don't ever know what the Lord is doing. Sometimes when you think the least is happening. I remember down in Spotswood where Brother Keith ministers, I used to help him for quite a few years as that work was getting off the ground. So excited. Their building is just about done. It's been a long time coming, but God knows what he's doing. But I'll never forget there was a service. This is going back quite a few years. I know they've had others like this, but there was a service. It was nothing special. It was just sort of your regular run-of-the-mill Sunday school service. You know, it was good. Nothing bad happened. Good word. People worshiped, sang, just like we did every Sunday. Went home. Later that week, I was talking to Brother Keith at another service, and he said, you know, and he related about one girl in that service who had fallen away from God. I just sort of turned her back and was just there to make her mother happy. And in that service, she rededicated her life to the Lord. The Lord got her attention. And nothing special happened. Never even thought twice. In fact, you could have sort of knocked me over when I heard it. I said, see, God knows what he's doing. The Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what's necessary. We don't know nothing. We don't know much. He does. And we leave it all up to him. And of course, about silence. We've had that happen. We have it happen not all the time, but regularly in our church. We have loud praise, loud worship. But I never forget. There are times when you feel like, okay, it's, you know, time to, for whatever, the next song, or go to Sunday school class. Our service burdens just a little bit differently on a Sunday morning. I remember one time I was sitting at my keyboards. I have keyboards up there. I play too. That's why it's kind of a little weird sometimes. If we're singing, you may see my fingers moving. It's because I'm so used to playing when we sing in church, I can't hardly help it. I've been doing that for over 40 years. Old habits die hard. And I still do it to this day. But I remember I slid over and I was going to get up and we were going to move on. And all of a sudden it was like a wall. I went to slide off the chair and I just stopped. Just stopped. I just closed my eyes and I couldn't say anything. The whole place. Just like that. Of course, leading the service, as you counselors know, you know, you have to think about the other folks that are there too. Especially those eight youngins that are sitting next to you. So I took a little peek. I said, let me just make sure, you know, the Lord's not just working on me. You know, I want the Lord blessing me, and all of a sudden here's everybody else, you know. You know, I looked out. Everyone just sat. God had something to say. He'd been talking about praying and letting our requests be made known to God, speaking to God. Later on, I said to the folks when that time had ended, I said, I know it was time to go to class, and maybe some of you, or you know, some of you were wondering, oh, maybe Brother John's got nothing to say. Maybe he forgot. You know, I said, no, no, no. And we don't manufacture these things. Some Christian circles, you know, things can get manufactured. You know, you can whip up a good frenzy. You've got the right band and right lights. Boy, some things I've seen are something spectacular. I trust that God is in, and those who are there desire God. And if they do, that's fine with me. They can have all the band and the lights they want. That's fine. As long as they want God and they're getting God. But, you know, you can whip that up.
And you can even whip up a good silence if you got the right gang. You got the right kind of people. You know, there are certain people that like the silence. They'll sit quietly. Some harried parents, their children have scurried off to children's church. Some of them wouldn't mind a little silent time. As long as you don't hear the snores, right? You can whip that all up. But you know, there's sometimes when God wants to say something. And the best way to hear sometimes is to ferme la bouche. Shut the mouth. Stop talking. And hear what God has to say. And in those moments, I always think of that verse. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. It's a good thing to be silent before the Lord at times. You don't have to always be silent. The Bible doesn't say to be silent all the time. It says, sing, praise, let your requests be made known. You know, tell God, speak to him, sing to him, exalt his name together. Then there's those moments when God just says, okay, now I got something to say. Job experienced that too, didn't he? Remember the book of Job? Job had a lot to say. And you know what? Job had a reason to have a lot to say. He really did. I mean, I had an uncle one time who said, I would love to have the patience of Job. When he said that, I just like stepped away from him. Lots of luck. More power to you. I think I'd rather avoid that if I could. But you know, when God showed up and started to speak to Job, you know what Job did, don't you? I put my hand over my mouth, he said. I want to hear what God has to say. And so I just encourage you to allow God to work. Let him work the way he wants to work. That's what this place is all about. That's what a Holy Ghost meeting is. It's letting God have his say. Let him do what he wants to do. Yeah, there's a plan. We don't come in here and just say, okay, well, let's just sit here and let's just see what happens. No, I don't quite have that gift. But there's a plan. But we want to let God speak. We want God to do what he wants to do. And believe that he's going to do that in the village, in the cottage, here in Watch Rock. Let God have his say. And as he does, he will accomplish his work. He will. Could we just sing one verse? One verse in the camp book, another song that deals with that same topic, Make Me More Like Thee, page 58. You might be wondering, what does this all have to do with the mark of the beast and the seal of God? I think maybe most of you have it figured out already, but let's go. Let's sing just one verse. I'm going to give you a chance to look over those words. Go. While Brother Paul's finding it, I know he's already got it, but I want you to look. What verse do you want to sing? First person that picks, in this case, the first will not be last. Which verse do you want to sing, Sister Martha?
Two.
Let's go. Brother Paul, play for us, please. Thank you. Second verse.
The fire had felt the fire of the blessed Holy Ghost. I felt the cleansing power in Christ alone I most. The fire that fell at Pentecost has cleansed and set me free. But still my heart keeps praying, Savior, make me more like Thee. Make me more like Thee, Savior, make me more like Thee, that others in my conduct Thine image they may see. I know Thou hast redeemed me, Thy blood is all my plea, but still my heart keeps praying.